We are a parking lot.
Yeah.
So I don't care what you do in your house. All we care about is that you pay your parking rent, because that's why we are called Trailer Park. The park is for parking lots, not for national park. So our management's very different.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm excited for today's show. I've got Frank Rolf with me. Now, here's I'm going to set this up, why it's so exciting. He's been an investor in mobile home parks for almost two decades. He's owned and operated hundreds of mobile home parks during that time. He's currently ranked with his partner, Dave Reynolds, as the fifth largest mobile home park owner in the United States, with over 250 communities spread over 25 different states. So I'm excited to have him here because we're going to dive deep into his background and mobile home parks. Frank, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm terrific. Thanks. And thanks for taking time to connect up here. So you've done a lot over the years. Just tell me, where did it all begin? What was your entry point into real estate?
My entry point into real estate was coming out of college. I went to Stanford. I got out in 3 years. I had a year to kill trying to get ready for a nice business school application. Talked to some parents about what I could do to start a business for a year and use that as my essay portion of my application. Sure. People said, why don't you do billboards, which I knew absolutely nothing about. Nevertheless, all the other ideas were even dumber. I took the idea and ran with it. No idea what I was doing. At the end of the year, I had three billboards. And so, but I had a bunch pending. So I decided to delay it one more year and finish the next round of billboards. And you can guess what happened. I never went to business school.
Yep.
Finished the billboards out 14 years later, sold it to a public company, started my life all over again from scratch. This time I went to all my 300 billboard landowners saying, tell me more about your business. How does it work? Trying to find something new and exciting. And I called a guy named Ron, and Ron said, because I had built two billboards on a mobile home park called Glen Haven. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll sell you the park right now, 400 grand, 10,000 down. I'll carry 390 for 30 years. I said, how much money is it losing, Ron? Because clearly you wouldn't sell something like that in one phone call. And he said, I'm losing $2,000 a month. And I said, I'll take the gamble. And that's how I got in the mobile home park space and been in that ever since. So that started in 1996.
Wow. What was it, you know, past presumably what might be interesting turnaround play, value add deal? What was it that's kept you there? What's intriguing about that space against any other space in commercial real estate?
You know, the first thing that intrigued me about Glen Haven was that when I was in the billboard business, people don't know billboards are federally regulated. Mm. You can only build billboards in certain spacings and zonings throughout the U.S. under federal law. So you're very used to reading zoning maps when you're a billboard owner. So when I was looking around zoning maps, in fact, when I built the two at Glen Haven, I noticed I never saw MH zoning. It was insanely rare. In the entire city of Dallas, there's maybe seven MH tracks. So I thought there was scarcity to it. I had no idea beyond that, but I thought, well, here's something that at least has supply and demand in its favor. And that's still a big turn on for me today, because you can't build any new mobile home parks and haven't since the 70s. So, you know, anytime you're working in something that's there's a fixed supply and the demand is rising, things normally work out pretty well. That one item is what really intrigued me back then.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batchleads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. The dynamics seem like they've probably gotten more interesting from the 70s to today. Homes are not becoming more affordable. They're becoming less affordable. And the demand for that and the supply thereof continues to get way out of whack, does it not?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. The when I got in the business, single family homes were, I don't know, maybe in the 100 something. Today, most of the transactions are more along the lines of the 300 something.
Right.
Right. And so, whereas affordable housing in the 90s wasn't something people talked about all the time, today it's like a high priority item for discussion because the gap has become so huge.
Well, it's a high priority item for discussion. I would agree with that, but it's not a high priority item for resolution.
Well, there is no resolution.
There is no resolution.
So let's give up. I mean, I was at a conference recently. They had a speaker there who is an actual professor at University of Texas of housing, which I didn't know there is a professor of housing. And he was giving a speech on why you can't build affordable housing. And I did not realize, but the average buildable lot in America is 80,000.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, if you start with an 80,000 lot, you cannot deliver a home for less than about 250. So that single family is off the list of potential candidates of fixed affordable housing. So with that gone, there really is no solution.
Right. Yeah. Tell me what's over the course of your years, what has been the, maybe you've got a story. Has there been a challenging experience or a challenging situation, a challenging park that stands out above all the rest?
Well, probably the most challenging park I ever had was my first park, Gledhaven. I did no due diligence. I had no idea what I was doing. I bought it because I thought it was rare and I really liked the seller carry aspect.
Yeah,
right. That is not enough reasons to buy something. It turned out that park had what's called master meter gas. Which is a terrible idea. Master meter electric, another terrible idea. It had high density lots. It had some of the worst residents you've ever seen in your life, but I was able to manage through it. And the only reason I could manage through it and succeed was because of the positioning of the industry itself. So since it was scarce, rents were rising, despite all my many screw-ups, failures, et cetera, I still sold the thing in the end for about $1.5 million. So it basically went up in value about $1 million more than I paid just because I was along for the ride in the back seat of the car of housing. But that park nearly killed me physically and mentally many times. It haunted me.
Yeah. I'm going to dig deep here because I want to see if we can get some value or some tips, that is, for the audience's sake. Number one way in which somebody can find a park, let's say for sale, somebody find a park or a seller who's willing to transact. Is it, what's the number one way?
Okay. The number one way for us, more than half of all the parks we've bought came from brokers. People do not know how large the broker network is for mobile home parks. If you go to Mobile Home Park Store, for example, go to the resource tab, to the broker tab, you will find a list of over 100 brokers who just do mobile home parks. And that's an eye-opener for many people who think that such a job does not even exist, right? After brokers who are number one, our number two is a toss-up between cold calling and direct mail.
Mm.
So those have always proven to be very effective to get directly to moms and pops, that time without broker involvement. And then fourth position is online, which is basically Mobile Home Park Store and LoopNet. So those are the four main avenues. But again, if you rank them, and we rank them constantly to see who our MVP is, brokers are always number one. Cold call and direct mail, they each sometimes exceed each other, but they're always in the number two and three position, and online is always number four.
Mm, that's great. That's helpful. When looking at a mobile home park, are there some, you know, top handful of things you'd go, this is what we're looking for, a park of X number of size, or this is what we're not looking for, meaning, you know, if it has Y, we definitely are not a buyer.
Sure. Well, let me give you a quick overview. Yeah. There's five components to any park that we buy, which spell the word ideal, and they stand for infrastructure, density, economics, age of the homes, and the location. I'll just give you the quick overview on what each of those five mean. Infrastructure is your water system, your sewer system, your power, your gas, your roads, parking pads, and amenities. So we want to have some of that stuff. Yeah. We prefer city water and city sewer, and we prefer all the better types of line construction. Density is literally how many mobile homes per acre. At a certain density, you cannot bring new homes in. They won't even fit. So typical density we're trying to buy is somewhere between about 10 to 15 lots per acre. Economics, we're always shooting for a 20% cash on cash return, which means we have to have a 3-point spread between the cap rate and the interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
Age of homes. We don't want to have parks where all the homes are ancient, nor do we want them to all be brand new. We want to be somewhere in the middle because older homes are paid for and don't move. But you'll find that to have a good floor plan, the homes have to be 14 feet wide, which is the 1980s. So most people value the parks that are predominantly 80s and newer homes. And then location, you got two winners. One is a nice upscale suburban, good schools, good shops, no crime. And the other is a safe urban. So that's what we're looking for as far as the intricacies of each park.
No, that's great. How about this? But Frank, I got to manage this park. I got to manage these people. I got to deal with all the problems. I'm in single families. I already know what headaches look like in houses. What say you? Totally different, is it not?
We are a parking lot. Yeah. So I don't care what you do in your house. All we care about is that you pay your parking rent, because that's why we are called Trailer Park. The park is for parking lots, not for national park. Yeah. Our management's very different. Today, with technology, it's become much easier. 92% of all of our rent payments come in online. So no longer does the manager collect the rent even. We use HD video to communicate. So we'll have the manager send us HD videos of the park driving through in their car. We can put it on GoToWebinar, and we can actually drive with them in the car as though we are actually there when we're not. We can, before we pay any bill, see a photograph that's texted to us of the completed job. So management today for us is a breeze, because we don't have to have that hands-on thing you do with apartments and other things, because again, we're just a parking lot.
It's funny. It's probably a parking lot in which the cars, those the items that are parked there, don't move.
Correct. That's right. The mobile homes, any mobile home built prior to 1976 cannot move by law. It's grandfathered in position because it doesn't have a HUD seal. Mm-hmm. When you get the ones with the HUD seals all the way through the 80s, you can't transport them. It's not safe to really jack one up in the air after 40, 50, 60 years and stick wheels on it. Yeah. So it's very rare for homes to move.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. You mentioned your website. Do you have some training that you guys do and have done for a while? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So for about a decade now, we've been doing a thing called the Mobile Home Park Investors Bootcamp, and it appeals to people across many spectrums. We have a lot of people who want to buy parks there, but half of our class is people who already own mobile home parks who are trying to get tips on how to better manage what they have. Yeah. We also have a lot of appraisers. We have a lot of bankers. We even have media people. We had the New York Times once. We had National Geographic. Yeah. So it's basically like a college class. It's not like a normal real estate class. It's more like a college class about mobile home parks.
Yeah. And that's held every so often or once a year?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. It's held roughly about every 45 days or so.
Yeah. Perfect. And if folks want to learn more, where can they go get some more details there?
Sure. Just go to mobilehomeuniversity.com or mhu.com. And you can't help but find everything we do as far as all of our writings are there. We've got videos on there, course that we teach, everything is there.
Yeah, great. So you mentioned relative to investing, you're looking for a rate of return on actual dollars, cash on cash return, the spread over the prevailing borrowing interest rates. How is borrowing different in this capacity versus, you know, another type of asset in the commercial real estate world?
Well, you know, you'd think it would be worse, right? Because no one thinks of trailer park in the same light they think of a fancy office building, but actually it's better than a big office building. What happened was our industry has the lowest default rate in real estate, and we have access to Fannie Freddie because we're housing. So what happens is for us in lending, you never see a decent deal that goes unfinanced. You've got seller financing, bank financing, CMBS conduit, then you have Fannie Freddie agency, and every park falls somewhere in that spectrum. So we right now financing, when I got it in the 90s, no one financed mobile home parks. It was impossible. That's why, you know, if Ron hadn't carried the paper, could have never bought Glenhaven. There were no bank lending.
Right.
Today, banks love mobile home parks. So it's that's the one bright spot of an industry that always gets bad press everywhere, is that lenders do love us.
Yeah, that's really incredible. Biggest personal habit that's attributed to your success. What has it been?
Probably my biggest personal habit that attributes to my success is I'm extremely goal and list oriented. I make a voluminous list every night before I go to bed, what I'm doing the next day. I have it in two sections. I have one that I call trip, although I don't know why I say trip. Trip, I guess, means in a car, but it's a person-to-person kind of encounter. And then I've got another section called calls. So every day I pre-plan my day. As far as all my meetings, I keep an old-fashioned day timer. I still use the old day timer that everyone used back in the 70s and the 80s. I still buy them regularly at the Office Depot. Yeah. So every day, I never go into any day without it fully scripted, fully prepared what I need to get done that day. And then at each night, before I do the next day, I review with myself why I didn't get certain things done and how I could for sure get them done the next day.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. Well, the old adage, right? Fail to plan to fail, and you're just the opposite. Plan to succeed.
I try not to be. That's right. Right.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, let's do this. I want to move on to what I call my final segment, four impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, Ben Franklin, diligence is the mother of good luck. Why does that resonate with you?
Well, because that's exactly what I didn't do in Glenhaven. If you do really good due diligence, you rarely have a failed property. Yeah. You end up with some spectacular, maybe some average, but you never get a bad one. And it's the bad ones that sour you. So, you know, we have some parks have done phenomenally well. Some have done pretty good, but we've never had one that have really tanked.
Yeah.
And if you don't do diligence, you're just gambling, basically. And I don't like to gamble.
Right. What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it's basically fear of getting out of your comfort zone. It's really uncomfortable to do new things. I don't like new things either. I'm a creature of habit, eat the same thing for lunch every day. But the problem is you have to force yourself, right? When I got in the billboard business, I was not really an outgoing person. So it was really hard for me to get into a business that's all about cold calling by the hundreds. That was very uncomfortable for me. Yeah. And obviously, like most Americans, I had a horrible stigma against mobile home parks. So I couldn't even set foot in Glenhaven until I went and got out and got a concealed handgun license and bought a gun and loaded it up because I was that afraid. Now, I later learned I didn't need it and stopped carrying it after about 2 months.
Yeah.
But it's fear of the unknown. It's fear of getting out of your comfort zone.
Growth comes on the other side of uncomfortable. Fair to say.
Yeah. Totally correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
You know, I don't have a lot of hobbies. I like spending time with my wife and daughter. Yeah. And I guess I like to figure out how to contribute to the community in my own strange way. I live in a small town in Missouri. Yeah. I am known to do such things as to pay out of my own pocket to put shutters on homes I feel need shutters, to repaint homes that need repainting. I do all kinds of behind the scenes philanthropy like that.
Yeah.
Because I do such things as if I go to a restaurant, I pay for the meal for anyone who's in the clergy or the police department. Just things that I think are going to help change the orbit of the earth a little bit.
Yeah.
So basically, it's things like that I care about that I like to put money behind.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, you may have just touched on my final question, number four, but I'll ask it anyway for the audience's sake. So, you know, I ask you, what's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Well, you know, it's finding things that I can directly control that I think have a lot of bang for the buck. There's a lot of charity items out there you can do where, you contribute to, you know, $20 of this, $50 to that, but you don't even know where the money goes or what actually happens.
Right.
Yeah. I prefer to only be involved in things that I can physically, tangibly see and typically that I control. And I look for things also that are off the radar screen of other nonprofits or charities, and so they don't get the funding they need.
Sure.
And so that's the kind of thing that's important to me.
There's a lot of opportunities out there, isn't there?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's great. So for folks who want to learn more, the best place sounds like the website. If they want to follow you or get more information, best place to go to the website, or is there any other places they should be directed?
It's everything flows through that website at mhu.com.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, you've got a tremendous story. I mean, how you got into this business, we all have got a unique story about how we got there. Yours is particularly interesting because I don't think I had a guest on here who got a career started in billboards and then make a transition, and how you entered this space here is terrific. And I certainly know of you and the work you've done in the education of the space, which I know you make a really deep personal impact on a number of our lives. So it's really tremendous. I appreciate you taking the time to connect on here, Frank.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.